Let me question really quick. Actually, let me back up about that. Just explain who most everybody here knows me, but just to give you an update, I've been going to this church for, maybe 13 or 14 years, I think. And the Lord called me into chaplaincy, so he told me to get my master's in divinity and go into the military chaplaincy. That's my background. I've been in the Air Force for several years. And Pastor Jay asked me to give just an update. I'm transitioning out of a three-year training program with the Air Force, which is combined with seminary, and now I'm in processing into reserve chaplaincy. And hopefully within the next few months, I'll be able to find out where I'm going in the country. I'm also involved with a ministry called Providence Veterans Farm, Concord, VA. It's right near where I live in Lynchburg, and it helps recovery for veterans with PTSD and combat trauma. And anybody, most of us have dealt with some sort of post-traumatic stress, but this is here to geared towards veterans that have come back. So I'll be teaching a class with that in the spring, and so I'll be down in the Lynchburg area for at least another 5 months before I see where the Lord's taking me. Raise your hand if you, thanks, Mike. Raise your hand if you have ever either struggled with depression or you know somebody who has struggled with depression. Okay, that's pretty much what I thought. Almost everybody in the room. That's good. So this will be applicable to you either personally or for you to be able to help somebody else out who has struggled with it. All right, so I'm going to ask you three questions. And true or false questions. And you can just call out the answer if you know it. Number one, because God is real and he loves you, he will never let it happen to you.
False.
That's true. In this world, you will face tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Number two, you are stronger and better off alone when you're hurting inside. True or false?
False.
False. That's right. Pastor Jay preached just a few weeks ago, Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. One falls down, you can help the other one up. If one is cold, you can lay with another one and stay warm. Ecclesiastes 4:9 and following. Number three, it is more blessed to give than to receive. True. That's right. Who said that? Yes. Who else said it? Right. Paul quoted Jesus in Acts chapter 20. Just a little trivia. Get your mind going. All right. So we have a real entity in this world whom we call by the name and title Satan. And Jesus spoke of this enemy when he said his goal is to steal from you, kill you, and otherwise destroy you. And now, I know not everybody here may believe in Jesus personally, but maybe if that's you, you may think, well, I believe in a little of this biblical stuff, but I don't know if I believe in Satan. You know, I think he's mostly just for cartoons and Saturday Night Live skits and Halloween costumes. But let me tell you, let me just tell you this, that the best way an assassin will destroy you is to get you to believe that he does not exist. Okay? You can't fight back against somebody that doesn't exist. So today we're going to be talking about depression. This is the enemy's ploy that he uses against us. Now, whether you're a Christian or not, you are made in the image of God. Every single human. And Satan wants to destroy you because of that, because you are God's. Open your Bibles to John chapter 10. This is going to be the scripture we're going through today, our key scripture. John chapter 10. Now, I wanted to, as you're turning there, I just want to explain to you, there are many facets to depression. as I'm sure many of us know. And if you go to a doctor or psychologist, they're probably going to start with some of the simple things. Maybe it's a physiological issue. Maybe need to learn to eat better, eat more meals, or eat the right things, or sleep, get more sleep, or maybe exercise. And my family knows I talk about this stuff all the time, mostly because I've struggled with a lot of depression. And so I try to get very in tune with my body to make sure I make wise choices so that I can stay very even, you know? So, and those are physiological things that we might go through. We're not going to be talking about that today. But that's just something. Maybe you're hypoglycemic. I know some Pastor Jay says he struggles with that a little bit. And so he needs to eat. And many of us have. I think I might have a little bit of that as well, to be honest. But we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about the spiritual issue that Satan uses to attack us with depression. So let's read together. John chapter 10, we're going to be starting in verse 7. And we're reading from ESV, the Pew Bible, which is page 896. Verse 7. Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. To steal, kill, and destroy, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand is not the shepherd, and he does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them." Keep that in mind. We're going to be talking about that later. He scatters them. "He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. My own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep of this fold, or that are not of this fold, and will also bring them in." That's us, the Gentiles he's speaking of there. "And my voice. So there we will be one flock. Then we'll be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me. Why? Because I lay down my life, and I take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." Authority of Jesus Christ. It's a big theme throughout the Gospels. "This charge I have received from my Father." Verse 19. "There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, 'Oh, he has a demon. He's insane. Why listen to him?' Others said, 'These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" That happened just one chapter ago in John chapter 9. He healed the man who was born blind. Continuing on, verse 22. "At that time, the feast occasion took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long must you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works, the miracles I do in my Father's name bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you're not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.'" Now, if that doesn't talk about Jesus' deity, there's the last few verses here. I don't know what is. His equality with the Father and his deity. So as we look at these, I wanted to mention something. Verse 25, Jesus says, "Look at the miracles that I do. They speak of who I am." So basically he's saying, in other words, it's the reality of who I am. You see the miracles that I do. Now, interestingly, it's true of Satan as well. But he's not going to stand up and say, "Look at the depression that I'm instigating in your life. They speak of who I am." No, he's not going to do that because he wants to remain hidden, just like that sniper who's silent for days wearing his big ghillie suit. You never want to know that he's there. He's never there. He'll take you out. So Jesus explains to that mixed audience. Remember we read there in verse 19 through 21? It's a mixed audience. Some believed, some didn't believe. So he says, look, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that I may bring life to my sheep and life abundantly. Now, before we go any further, I have to explain this. If you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and Jesus does not know you, as he said, your first step in combating depression is to know Jesus Christ personally. Just in the Word the other day as I was reading through Matthew chapter 9, and I didn't notice this before. I actually preached on this actual occurrence a few years ago here. I don't remember if it was in the morning or if it was in the evening, but I preached on Mark chapter 2 about the paralytic, where the four guys come and they let them down, let their crippled guy through the roof. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And they say, who has authority to forgive sins except God himself? But here in Matthew 9, it's the same story, but they don't let him down through the roof. Jesus just talks right to the guy. So he comes in, and the text says, Jesus saw his faith, and he said, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Just a few later, Jesus is on his way to heal the daughter of the ruler. The woman with the bleeding from 12 years comes up behind him and says, if I just touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be healed. And she does it, and he turns around, and he says, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And what I didn't notice before was that immediately upon their faith, they were called a son, they're a daughter. Immediately, when you believe on Jesus Christ, when you believe he has the authority to take away your sins and heal your past, to heal your sins, to heal you physically. But we're talking about sins here. Jesus has the authority to heal the sins in your life, to take away the penalty for you on the cross. Immediately when you believe that, you are saved. And you are a son. You are a daughter in the family of God. So I would encourage you today. Today, if you hear his voice, remember he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. That's an interesting progression there. We hear the voice of Jesus, and then we start a relationship with him, and then we follow him. That's what you become if you're a sheep, if you belong to Jesus Christ. If you hear his in your hearts, like the Israelites did in the rebellion against God with Moses, if you hear his voice today, respond and receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. That's the first step to combating depression. Now, you can't defeat Satan, but Jesus can defeat Satan. In fact, he's already defeated him, like Josh said a few minutes ago. The victory is in Jesus Christ. If you're on your own, it's going to be much, you're not going to be able to defeat Satan. Okay, so we got that point across. Now, I want to get into the ways that Satan attacks us with depression. Concentrating on verse 10, John 10:10, he comes to lie, kill, and destroy. Now, you notice that I just made a mistake there and said lie instead of steal. I have been quoting this verse wrong for a while. I just realized that the other day. But you know what? Even though I was quoting it wrong, it's still true. He lies. What does he do when he steals from us? He steals away the truth. So we're going to take and we're going to transpose stealing here with lying, because that's exactly what he does, and that's scriptural, because back in chapter 8, Jesus said he is the father of lies, he was a liar from the beginning, he's a murderer from the beginning, and that's exactly what he did. Remember in Genesis 3, he stole away the truth from Eve with a lie. You surely won't die. Did God really say? He's a liar. So what he does, he lies to us. And how do we defeat the lie? We apply truth. Now, with this point, it's going to be a little bit of rehashing what you already know to get in the Word of God and to use the Word of God to fight lies. However, we're just going to talk about it a little bit more. So let me ask you, listen to this. Maybe some of these sound a little familiar. Here's some lies. Nobody loves me. I'm no good to anyone. Hey, since things aren't perfect right now and they're not going my way, God must have abandoned me. These are lies. These are not from God. These are from the enemy. We need to apply the truth to combat that lie, those lies. And what is truth? Pilate asked that question. What is truth? Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. And what is the next phrase? Does anybody remember that next phrase he says? Thy word is truth. Sanctify them with the truth. Your word is truth. I was just thinking through this. I thought of another parable that Jesus tells. And he talks about a demon. And when he's cast out of somebody, he goes throughout the land, through arid places, looking for a place to rest. And he doesn't find one. He comes back to the person that he was cast out of. He brings seven more demons. And so the condition of the person is worse than the beginning. And the point of that is to say, when you remove something, when you clear your mind, when you meditate, you have to put something back in. So you need the truth to come back in. To fully remove the lie, the truth needs to be applied. So I'm going to give you three ways you can apply the truth. And actually, these three ways are progressionally. You need each one. And the first one, you already got it. You're here. Okay? So you're listening to a sermon. You're listening to the Word of God preached. Acts 2:42, they said they, what did they do in the early church? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. So the apostles' teaching. We're going through the apostles' teaching right now. John was an apostle. So the Word of God is all God-breathed. So what we're doing here is we're listening to a sermon. We're listening. Okay? That's great. But that's not enough. It's not enough to come to church once in a while or even every Sunday. You need to have that personal time alone with the Lord where the water of the Word can refresh you and cleanse you. And you kind of go over what we talked about today. You have that one-on-one time. So you can journal some things down. Get your journal out and you can write a few things that God's spoken to you. Some verses. You can even pray out some of those verses to God. That's precious time. I don't want to go too much into this, but I've been keeping a journal for about 15 years. Pastor Jay will tell you he's kept a journal as well. It's extremely fruitful to keep a journal of the things God's been speaking to you, things that you're doing. And just a little bit of encouragement with a journal. You don't have to do it every single day. The main thing that people, whenever I explain to somebody, hey, you could start journaling, it's very helpful in your walk with Christ, they say, oh, I can't keep up with it. That's okay. You don't have to do it every day. There's nothing written in stone that says, I have to have a date for every single day. No, you write in it. The consistency is key. So maybe you do it or something. But as long as you keep up with it. My little journals, I always use the same one. I didn't bring it today. It's made by Gallery Leather. And it's the same thing. It's 192 pages, or 190 pages rolled. And I have journals that I finished in 2 months. I have some that I finished in 3. I have some that I finished in 9 months. So it's okay. You know, it's freedom. When I realized that, it was freedom. It's like, okay, this journal's really helping me. It's not a burden, you know? So that's just a thing. Okay, so you're here listening. You're spending time alone with God in the Word, rehashing, going over. And here's the thing. I'm going to tell you the third thing. This is going to, well, may not blow your mind, you know, but it'll be extremely valuable to you. Whenever you're studying, this is going to be the tipping point. It's going to help you retain the information that you're studying. Whether you're in middle school, high school, you're in college, you're doing continuing education at your job, or you're trying to get a certification, whatever it is, this is what's going to be key for you. And, it's not key for him. Apparently, sorry. What did I say? Sorry, just make trying to joke. All right. I'm all right. I'm not thrown off. But this is key. See, Satan didn't want you to get this key point. That's why I tried to interrupt. Just no. But here's the key. to retention is you tell somebody. You tell somebody. So once you've listened, you've studied yourself, you tell somebody about it. And interestingly, that's what discipleship is all about. Remember Jesus said to go in the world and make disciples and to teach them things that I've commanded you? That's exactly what it is. It's just sitting down with somebody else and saying, hey, Josh, this is what I kind of learned. This is what the Lord taught me in the Word. And I understand it much better. And I'm regurgitating everything that I learned to you. And it's going to solidify it in your brain. So, interestingly enough, we're obeying Jesus and making disciples. And we're awesome. There we go. Telling someone about it. You tell someone about it. So that's the third step. That's how you can get the truth of God integrated, hiding the Word in your heart, just like David did, so he might not sin against you. That's what he said in the Psalm. So that's what I want you to get there about the truth. Okay, so we went over that point about applying the truth. To fully remove the lie, the truth needs to be applied. Somebody say that with me. To fully remove the lie, the truth needs to be applied. All right. Secondly, all right, so some of that was rehash. Secondly, this is the point I really want you to take home today. Secondly, the enemy tries to destroy us with depression. And how do we address that? Killing and destroying. So we're gonna put kill and destroy together. He wants to kill and destroy us. How do we address that? We address isolation. So for one, we apply the truth to lie. We address isolation. Secondly. So, he wants to either get you to kill yourself or to pretty much make you completely ineffective. And we see this in Scripture. There's several suicides in Scripture. There's some people at that point and wished for death. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So, I want to talk about a little bit about Elijah. Everybody remembers Elijah from 1 Kings? So, Elijah being one of the greatest prophets of God, doing amazing miracles. He brought people back from the dead. He healed people. He saw these miracles in front of his eyes. He even called down fire from heaven in that big battle between those who worship Baal and those who worship God. And he said, look, I could recount the entire story, but I'll just say the main thing that I'm encouraged, I'm excited about that story is that God vaporizes everything on that altar, including stone. I mean, that had to have been amazing to see. But Elijah saw all this. And James calls him a great man of faith and prayer. So Elijah was a hero of our faith, but yet he struggled with depression. And he even wished for his life to be taken from him. What happened was he felt ineffective and he lost hope. And that was just like Satan could do that to us. He makes us feel ineffective and makes us feel as though we lose hope. So he got alone under a broom tree. He ran away from Jezebel, who threatened to kill his life, the queen of the land of Israel, when Israel was going way off the deep end. And he gets alone under this tree and he says, Lord, it's enough. It's enough. Just take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. He felt it. He felt like he was ineffective. And he asked for God to kill him. So one of our heroes of faith can feel that way, I want to encourage you, it's okay if you feel that way. All right? You saw everybody in this room raise their hand, just about everybody. Has either struggled with it themselves or they know someone who struggled with it. This is a common issue. So don't get down on yourself and get further down in the dumps. This is something we all struggle with. We understand. So notice God's response to him though. He speaks in a still small voice. I'm not going through the scripture because most of us know this story and you can get the idea even if you don't for what I'm sharing with you. But he speaks in a voice and God says, "Look, you're not alone. You're not alone. I got 7,000 more people that haven't bowed down to that false god back in Israel." And then he says, "Get up. Get up and go do these works that I have prepared for you to do." All right? So this is where it's going to get into something interesting, what I want you to see. So as he says, go do what I tell you to do. Go do my work. Of Jesus, freely you have received, freely give. So remember we said at the beginning, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I've actually been thinking about this for a long time as I've struggled with depression. As in seminary, I went through several different bouts, you know, of depression. I did want to tell a quick story. When I was in basic training the first time back in 1999, there was a guy in my basic training flight that was really depressed. He just stayed by himself. And when I went to tech school a few months later, he ended up going to the psych ward, and he ended up getting out. He may not have just wanted to be in the military, and that was kind of his way. But there was another dude named Paul, and he just kept to himself in the dorm room, and you couldn't drink in tech school in the first couple phases. You went through phases. So what he would do is he would get a bottle of cough syrup and just down the whole thing. I said, whoa, that's kind of rough. I'd be afraid of the chemicals in there more than the alcohol. But, you know, he would do that because he was struggling. But I ended up getting him come out. This was in my early 90s, is when I first gave my life to Christ. But he didn't have a relationship with Christ, so he was stuck on his own. See, sometimes we need to reach out and pull somebody out of their isolation. And I had to push a little bit. I had to push a little bit on him to get him come out. But once he got out, he started to feel better. And I know some people, they won't come out, they won't respond, and that's okay. But sometimes we need to help some people out, pull the people out. I struggled with isolation 6 years ago. I was stuck in my place for about a week, and I was so down. The Lord finally got me out of it. But I wish I had known this back then. So God tells Elijah to go do what I have prepared for you to do. He had works for him still to do. He had to go anoint Jehu to be the king of the land, and he had to also get Elisha, his successor, trained up to go out and to be the prophet of the land. So God has works prepared in advance for us to do. That's Ephesians 10, 2:10, right? So here's the point I want you to get here. Philippians chapter 2, one of my favorite passages, 1-11. We're to be one in Christ and one mind. He says, "And lowliness of mind considers others better than yourself." Now just stick with me here. I'll take you through a little progression. Consider others better than yourself. Let each of you look out for the interests, not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. Okay? And then he says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what was the mind of Christ? Well, the verses after that talk about that. He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and became obedient to God. Basically, he gave up his life for us, having others in his mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? Interestingly, Pastor Jay quotes all the time, "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross." And what was that joy? He was thinking of all those others that would come to Christ. He was thinking of those who would be saved. He wasn't thinking of himself. Interestingly, as you go on in Philippians chapter 4, we read that famous passage, "Rejoice." Again, I tell you, rejoice always. Let your gentleness be known to all. "Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and what will guard your heart and mind? Peace, the peace that surpasses guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." Interesting. Back to the mind. We're to have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, which is thinking of others. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your mind. All right, let's keep going. Another verse that we may know pretty well, Romans chapter 12. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing Let's back up a little bit. I like the verse before that too. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're alive still, right? You're sacrificing to God, but you're alive, right? Not a dead sacrifice. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here's, we're back to your mind again. And it just hit me, just yesterday, it just hit me. What does he start talking about right after that? He says, start using your gifts. You know, if your gift is prophesying and explaining the word, like I'm doing right now, my gift is prophesying. It's explaining the word of God. I'm using my gift for you all, for my brothers. If it's prophesying, then prophesy a portion of your faith. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then encourage someone. If it's giving, then give generously. You know, if it's leadership, then lead diligently. He goes through this all long list there in Romans chapter 12. Interestingly, right after he says, to renew your mind. See? It's thinking of others. This is a huge key to defeating how that Satan tries to kill and destroy us with depression, is to get our minds off of me. Get my mind off of me and onto others. See, when we're alone, we're by ourselves, we're stuck in that trap. We need to be renewed with our minds. So here's what we do. We use our gifts to reach out to others. See, when I isolate and I retreat in my depression, I'm thinking about myself too much. There's a quote out there, and I actually looked it up yesterday, and some people attribute it to C.S. Lewis, but some people attribute it to Rick Warren. It says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And it's an interesting kind of thought there. It's, you're not dwelling on your own things in your own mind. So here's how some practical ways we can get away from being alone and depressed. Well, you can call somebody. But when you call them, don't say, hey, come help me. You can call them up and say, how are you doing? I've honestly done that a couple times in my life. I've felt so depressed. I've given someone a call, and I just said, how are you doing? How are things going with you? They might be struggling with something, or they might be doing good. And as you sit there and listen to somebody else's life, your mind's getting off yourself. And actually, you might even start feeling some empathy or sympathy for what they're going through. And it's really a miraculous and crazy thing that it takes your mind right off of things that you're going through and helping someone else out. If you're a buddy of mine, he was stuck in his home for a few weeks, and he was really down. He was really depressed. Actually, he's the one who encouraged me to kind of look into depression for this sermon. But I went over to his house, and I picked him up, and we went to a Bible study. And when we were at the Bible study, he talked and he interacted with everybody else at the Bible study, and he threw in some very good points to the rest of the group. And he was encouraging other people. See, when you help, and this is for you, that you may be helping somebody else with depression, don't just take and, you know, try to get them with you and just sit there and listen with them. Take them out or give them a way to help somebody else. Because when they're using their gift, that's when they get their mind off of themselves and they're onto someone else. That will help them get out of that. That will help them renew their mind with the gifts that God has given each and every one of us in this room to use. So in summary, as we wind down, as preachers like to say, we must recognize that Satan's real and he's instigating depression in our lives. Number one, with the lies. He's stealing away our truth. And how do we combat that? Does anybody remember? Two, I'll give you the initials. A-T. How do we accomplish?
Apply the truth.
Yes, apply the truth. We apply the truth to the lie. We can't just take the lie out. We need to replace it with the truth, which is the Word of God. We listen to a sermon. We go and look at it ourselves in our own time with the Lord. And then we tell somebody about it. Remember that. tell somebody about it, what you've learned. Number two, he tries to kill and destroy us. And how do we defeat what he does with killing and destroy us? Anybody remember? I'll give you the initials. AI. Not artificial intelligence. Address isolation. We need to do it. And how do we do that? By helping others or helping ourselves get out of that by turning over to look to someone else. Renewing our mind by using the gifts that God has given us. Don't think that God hasn't given you any gifts. He definitely has. So we're grateful that we have the Lord in our lives. And for those that you don't, I pray that you will turn your lives over to Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that we can be encouraged, Lord Jesus, that you have defeated the enemy. And although he still tries to kill and destroy us, and he definitely lies to us, he is ultimately defeated. You defeated him on the cross when you rose from the dead. And even if we die here, Lord God, we don't have to fear death, because we'll be absent from this body. We'll be present with you immediately with our Lord and Savior, who sits at the right hand of the Father. We thank you that we can trust in that. We don't need to fear death. We also don't need to hope for death, Lord God, because as your servant Paul said, to die is gain, but to live is Christ. You've given us gifts to use for others. Lord, help us get our minds off ourselves, Lord. Renew our minds with your truth. And help us to reach out to others around us. Lord, give us grace to combat that depression that the enemy wants to instigate in our lives. And Lord, if we don't struggle with it specifically, show us how we can help others who do. Lord, we're one body and one mind in Christ. We do love you, Lord God, and we love your word. Lord, thank you for your truth today that we've heard, and help us to apply it throughout the week and to tell somebody else. We do love his name. Amen.
Amen.